our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as we continue our service with our readings.
The Old Testament reading is from Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord, esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possessions, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. The epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday, we read of the crucifixion of Christ, the King of not only the Jews, but of the whole world. The Holy Gospel is found in St. Luke chapter 23. And there followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we sing Jesus Messiah. Thank you.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think I was about college age when one of the greatest epics of all time came out on the big screen. I speak, of course, of The Lord of the Rings. A three-movie, a trilogy, if you will, of a great epic. These hobbits, or halflings as they're called, because they're quite a bit shorter than a normal man or human, is tasked with a great task, to take a ring of power, a great ring of power that contains a great deal of power. Those that touch the ring can be infected by it. Those that wear the ring become invisible. This great ring of power, they are tasked to take it up to a volcanic mountain and throw the ring in to destroy it. Talk about a great movie. Actually, a great three movies, really. But if you watch the movie, you will miss a character. Even if you watch the extended editions, which I understand are about 12 hours, you will miss a character. There is a character missing. He makes his appearance, if you read the books, toward the beginning. They're first getting out on their journey, and they find themselves in danger. And long through the woods that they find themselves in danger comes a man who's almost skipping, who seems to be singing and be overwhelmingly joyous, overwhelmingly happy. And who saves them? His name is Tom Bombadil. That's about the best I can do. He's kind of a gentle soul, you might say. Almost goofy, almost overwhelmingly or overly joyous. There's Tom Bombadil, skipping through the forest, singing his poems, singing his songs, and he saves the hobbits. And all this is really interesting, but what's even more fascinating is that whenever Tom Bombadil picks up the ring, the very ring that the hobbits are carrying, one hobbit in particular, it has no impact on him. It doesn't infect him. When he puts it on his finger, he doesn't turn invisible. To him, it's a nice trinket. It's something interesting to look at or to think about. And it's nothing more. It's only whenever Tom Bombadil comes up against something that the reader truly understands as truly powerful that you truly understand just how powerful Tom Bombadil really is. That this joyous, overly happy man could contain so much power that even the ring has absolutely no effect on him. Each week, we come to church. And each week, we hear the same message. Jesus Christ has died for you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sake and for your salvation. His blood has cleansed you. Each week we hear this message, and each week we need to hear the message. We need to hear the message to understand why we live the way we live and why we do what we do. We need to hear that message because throughout the week we get beat up and beaten down by the world, and we need to hear those words again spoken into our ear. You are forgiven. Christ died for you. He loves you. As we get toward the end of the church year, however, we start looking not just at that aspect of Christ Jesus, but at a much fuller image of Christ. We start seeing Christ in a much larger sphere. You've seen it the last couple weeks, really, as the text have come over and over again, and we've started talking about Christ, the one who is to come. Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And today's text do the same thing. Our Colossians passage, Colossians 1, 13 through 20, does the same thing. It talks about how Christ is the first fruits, that he is the one who is the creator of all there is and all there was. It's only, you see, when we put those things which we on this world think are so powerful, are so great, when we start to put those right next to Jesus, that we truly see who Christ truly is and how powerful he truly is. When we take those rulers and those authorities and all those things that we say, this is true power, and we put those next to Christ to find that he is the King of Kings. All other kings are nothing but a shadow when compared to him. That he is the Lord of Lords. That all other versions of a Lord are simply nothing but dust when compared to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we truly see the magnitude of who our Lord and Savior is. That he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You know, Tom Bombadil is a very interesting character. But he's a fictitious character. He's a character out of the mind of J.R.R. Tolkien. And this isn't the only place he appears either. He is in The Lord of the Rings, but he's in some of the other stories, and he has some other poems throughout. But he is also a flawed character. He's not perfect. In The Lord of the Rings, he does make one more appearance, and that's at the council. When they're trying to decide as a group what to do with this great ring of power, when they're trying to figure out what it is that they have to do, one of the hobbits says, give it to Tom Bombadil. It makes sense. A man with that much power? Surely he could protect the ring. But the problem comes whenever somebody speaks up and says, no, don't give it to Tom, because Tom, well, he just doesn't care. To Tom, this is a trinket. To Tom, this is a little thing that you think is fascinating for a little bit, but then you put on a shelf and you kind of forget that it's there. To the point where somebody could sneak in, grab the ring, and Tom wouldn't even notice that it's missing. You see, because to Tom, it doesn't matter. It doesn't impact Tom that wars are starting to go for this ring, that military powers are rising just to gain and grasp its power. Tom doesn't care about any of that. To him, it's just a trinket. One of the reasons I actually like that this flaw is in the book, I can really associate it with it well. I think it's a human flaw. It's a flaw that in some way we all kind of have to some degree. I think especially when we think about some of the gifts that we have been given from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like we have this book, this scripture, this his word that he has given to us. Yet for how many of us does it just sit on the shelf? How many of us is it just a knickknack, a thing to decorate that part of the shelf where it might grow dust, or maybe we dust it every now and again, but how many of us open that book and read from it like we should? How many of us read through the scriptures, allow the Holy Spirit to work in with and through that word to impact our lives? How many of us do what Tom would have done with the ring? Just set it on the shelf and let it collect dust. Forget that it's even there. And that word is so important. Because it's in that word that we learn even more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That this King of Kings, that this Lord of Lords, that this, the greatest of all time, that which created and also was born as a child, also that humbled himself and went to a cross for you. That this, the Lord of Lords, would humble himself and go to the cross and die for your sake. That his blood would cleanse you. That he would grant you the forgiveness of sins. That he would grant you salvation through his work and through his word. All of it contained in that holy book that we are given. All of it contained for you. A message for you. That Jesus, who is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is also called the Lamb who is slain. The one who is slain for your sake. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our sins in the words of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, Lord, because we have sinned. We have sinned in our thoughts and our words and our deeds, and we come before you to ask of your forgiveness for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we pour out our sins to you, as we tell you our sins and confess our sins in a moment of silence. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship found on the side by the aisle and sign that and get to know the people around you, that would be great. Thank you.
please stand as we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Father, you are the great giver of family and friends, food to eat, shelter, and everything we need. In appreciation, we have brought you a portion of your gifts in the form of our offerings as a small token of our appreciation. Dear Heavenly Father, on this last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday, we fervently pray for your Son's return. Though we sin daily, we long for that day, knowing that Jesus comes with mercy for those who trust in you. We thank you for all the blessings of the Word and Sacrament that have been ours throughout this past year. As the church embarks on the season of Advent next Sunday, let us come and adore the baby Jesus and fill our hearts with the glorious anticipation of his second coming. Almighty King, please bless our nation that is going through a challenging time. Remembering that you are in control, we pray that you would give us peace of mind at a time when we may be troubled by one thing or another. Guide and protect the military personnel and their families as they stand ready to defend our country against the evil leaders of the world. Thank you for the generous outpouring of the contributions of our congregation for the military Bible sticks that will help to provide your word of peace, comfort, strength, real hope, and real help to our servicemen and women. River of the Church, be with members of our congregation as they gather this afternoon for a special orders meeting. Send your Holy Spirit to lead them in their deliberation as they discuss the work of our San Curry congregation. Loving God, grant healing and recovery to our brother in Christ, Earl Urish, who is a patient of Hopedale Hospital. Be with Rick Leisman and Pat Fairchild as they suffer physical discomfort. Comfort the family of Carol Sterrett, sister of Judy Ripper, who was received into her eternal rest. Lord of Life, thank you for the gift of a baby girl, Regan, Joe Ambrose, granddaughter of Joe and Susan, Lay, and daughter of Carly and Andy. We pray your continued blessings for our members who are celebrating birthdays this week. Norman Tisdale, Sherry Catton, Christy Martis, Earl Urish, David Fairchild, and Matt Null. Lord of Marriage, bless Jim and Sharon Lemon, John and Carol Breedlove, and Alan and Kim Hall, who are celebrating wedding anniversaries. Help them to remain faithful to you and to each other. God of all, as we pray weekly for members of our congregation, this morning we offer special prayers for the Bain, the Barrett, and the Blair families, that you would grant them an extra portion of your love and care. Heavenly Father, prepare those who will be coming to the Lord's table, that we might do so with penitent hearts, rejoicing in our Savior who visits us with his very body and blood to work the miracle of forgiveness of sins among us. Heavenly Father, receive these prayers and all other petitions as we pray the prayer of your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may be seated as we continue our service with the Lord's Supper. Please remember, again, we're doing the flowing style, so there will be no blessing at the end of each table, but we will have that at the after everybody has had communion. We'll all stand and have the closing blessing. So please just remember that as we go. Thank you.
I'm
Please stand for the blessing. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto the one true faith, which is a life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt's paid from the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth. To show.